Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Carolina Connections, the radio show where business leaders connect.
Hello. Welcome back to Carolina Connections. This is Anne Raval Petcher. I'm your host, and I'm here today with my producer, Reed Powell. Hello, Reed.
Hi, Anne. How are you?
I am great. As our guest, Nick, said as he walked up, it kind of feels like we got beachy weather here today in Wake Forest.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a gorgeous Absolutely. Day. So, it's really pretty cool to have one of the founding thinkers of Smashing Boxes here in the studio with us today. Nick Jordan's CEO, co-founder of Smashing Boxes, which is one of my favorite web and mobile app development firms in the region. Welcome to the studio, Nick.
Thank you, Anne. It's great to be here.
So tell us about Smashing Boxes.
Well, Smashing Boxes is, what we do is we're a web and mobile design and development firm. We build products for startups, nonprofits, universities, and Fortune 500s, ranging from anything from native to mobile web to cool next-generation devices like glass. And it serves a lot of different functions inside of companies, whether it's core platform software that drives an entire business or whether it's something for a marketing team to help expand their reach with user engagement or to promote a product line. We're pretty flexible in that regard.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think most people, when they think about mobile apps specifically, they think about consumer apps. They think about games. They think about, maybe fitness apps or things like that. But you actually have done quite a few things that are also used internally for corporate use. What kinds of things might you have done that are more of a, internal intranet kind of app?
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity around just automating processes and making things more efficient. So anything from reps out in the field that normally have a lot of paperwork, whether they're sales or service technicians, getting work orders into the system, passing the data back to a server like in real time and being able to coordinate the effort inside the house without them driving all the way back and dropping off a stack of papers. it's communication tools for companies that have presences here but then have constituents overseas where they can, upload content or data and pass it to them and they can just get it on their device right there.
Yeah.
It's even better than an email in that regard just because you can push it out and have them see it. And it's obviously better than mailing them a packet of here's our, quarterly report for the year.
Yeah.
So there's a lot around automation. I would say productivity is another thing.
Yeah, you did something recently for sort of a trade show app, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Well, it's funny. It was for a group inside of a large manufacturer that helps manage all the trade show communications and coordination. So. Yeah. It was less promotional and more around schedule coordination, dates, booth locations, agendas, flight, travel.
Yeah, helping them communicate internally.
Yeah, because they're taking phone calls from, I think they have over 1,000 sales reps across the country, and all or some of which go to over 100 plus shows or events. I think that's big shows or events. I think they have over 300 events in total, including, smaller get-togethers, but... it's a group of five managing 1,000 people times 300 events. It was a lot easier to consolidate a lot of that and put it in one centralized location. So it has some other cool features where they can kind of share, experiences and communicate throughout an event. This booth is cool. Come check it out. There's a free giveaway. Or, here's a target prospect. He's here and stuff like that. So it definitely makes their lives a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the point of software in general. It should. I just listened to something on the way over about when's the watch coming out so that people don't have to reach into their pocket to check their phone for a text. They can just look at their watch, twist their wrist.
Call the smartwatch, right?
Yeah. I'd rather twist my wrist than reach into my pocket. Save 4 seconds.
I have one of those. And they are pretty cool. I mean, the whole Internet of Things, it must be really impacting the business that you're doing because app development is changing.
Yeah, absolutely. We see that a lot with... Well, we see a lot of interest in healthcare where there's a lot of hardware out there that can monitor everything from blood pressure to, there's the devices that take, your blood sugar level. that pass information back over to a device so that doctors right. and your practitioners or healthcare givers can have the information access to it in real time. So that's another one that's not quite consumer. I just say it's a lot of interest in healthcare because there's like just a kind of a veil of mystery around what's going to be regulated as a, you know, it's an actual device,
right?
A medical device and has to meet standards. Are there real patient records? Every healthcare institution has its own silo of data and information
yeah.
and their own system. Right. So there's some people out there just forging ahead, and I think it will eventually all, you know, even out, and we'll see a lot of advancements.
I think that's one of the really cool things about working with a company like yours is that you have the consumer experience, but you also have the corporate experience, and you can help people see the opportunities that are out there. They may not even know when they come to you what they want to have done.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so your ops guys, and you can get in there really and understand what the ops guys are dealing with at the corporate level, and really be able to help think through the kinds of things that need to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. There's tiers of understanding. And so sometimes we get, you know, like just a business goal, and mm-hmm. that's, you know, maybe in corporate, they want to spend less time really trying to understand the hardware and the technology and how does, you know, how's location going to work on a device. They just want to know, like, I need my people when they enter this, you know, retail store to be pinged with some kind of alert so I can drive more sales.
Right.
So really it's, no, you need to drive more sales and you want to use some kind of technology that's nearly ubiquitous. When you work with startups, they have more information because they, you know, their platform or their technology is more of a differentiator. And that at that early of a stage of company, that's a big deal. So, but there's still a big education curve there because there's a new announcement every day about, you know, some kind of operating system upgrade, or now there's Swift for iOS, you know, making programming easier. And now there's, well, not now, but, you know, some of the Beacon technology and mm-hmm. BLE stuff is becoming more robust and usable. So, you know, it's our job to just be always up on the latest so that yeah. we can take an idea and improve it, you know, as we make it.
So your clients are pretty much across the board. Let's take a minute and talk about the entrepreneur. When they come to you, generally they have a great idea, and maybe they've got a business plan, and maybe they've even got some funding. Let's hope they have some funding so mm-hmm. they can pay you.
Yep. That helps.
But they're not necessarily developers.
Right.
So how do you start that process of working with someone who, let's just say there's somebody listening to this right now that is saying, you know, I've got this great idea, and I don't know how to get it out.
Yeah.
I know how to market it once it's done, but yeah. I don't know how to get the product done.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of combinations of startup types that come to us. Some have a plan, some have some money, and some have development experience, and some have any combination of those factors. So yeah, it starts with, you know, really understanding the need, the idea in the specifics that they want, and then also more of the, you know, what pain does this solve, and is this going to make an impact in the marketplace? Because then we can maybe add value through kind of our lens of design and development to see how can we make this better or how can we improve it. Startups that are, you know, solopreneurs or non-technical, we need to build their first version, basically build their whole entire product and platform
right.
while they go out and start to recruit. You know, we want to be alongside with them, but ultimately they need to build their team as they go. Mm-hmm. They're still, as they get more traction and more success, they're going to need more velocity. And so we'll still have to probably be working ahead of their own capacity as they build sure. their team. So likewise, when we have a team that has technical co-founders, once they get some traffic with maybe a beta or some user testing or a minimum viable product, they raise money. And now, again, it's time to really add velocity to their team, something that's not a long-term, you know, overhead. It's temporary.
Sure.
While we do something where maybe it's we pick a platform and we build for that while they work on the core back end or vice versa.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different ways that we engage with people, but it just starts with kind of understanding what they want and spending a lot of time with them before they ever hire us and figure out what makes most business sense for them.
Give us some examples of some startups you've worked with.
Cool. So a lot of our startups are in the area. So I just got an email from Jim Zadar, who's with Steels. They got
Great.
Some coverage on ABC just the other day. We built the web platform. We built their iOS and their Android app.
Cool.
They have a technical co-founder, and they just are building out their tech team. So They now own and manage the product entirely, and they're out selling and marketing the heck out of it.
Good.
So
that's what getsteals.com, if
yeah,
I'm not
getsteals.com
is, that ends in a Z for anybody who's listening. Can't
absolutely.
See those words.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Dognition is another startup that's in the area. They used to be right above us before we moved, but a couple floors up. Now they're just across the street. But they've got a product based around science and behavioral science with canines. Mm. So it's a way to improve your relationship with your dog as a dog owner. So obviously,
dog psychology.
I have a baby now, so now I'm all in the baby market. But like before, we just had a dog, and it was like everything for the dog, you know. And you just go through those phases. But they're doing really well in general. I think. I mean, there's all kinds of interest from partners, just of like from large brands to the actual users. They had a technology team in place initially, and we just came in and supplemented them because they had big goals and big milestones to hit, driven by some of their business development efforts and some of their PR efforts, which had them on everything from, I think, Good Morning America to, you know, major talk shows and major media outlets. So there was a big rush. And so that was a good example of needing velocity.
Yeah.
You know, we worked with their CTO, and their chief product officer and a few of their designers. And we brought in, you know, at times 3 developers and at other times 5 to pick out, you know, key parts that we owned and that we built. So that was a cool project, and it's great to see them still rolling.
Cool.
There's a bunch. I mean, there's another.
It's across all over the board, right?
Yeah, it's all over the board. There's another batch of startups that are, you know, out there. Now. There's a new batch every year. It's like,
yeah,
you kind of think like, well, will we run out? It's like, well, no, because like, do colleges ever run out of students? You know, like, no, there's always a new crop. So we're working on a few now that are in, you know, kind of in closed beta, raising rounds of money and kind of keeping things under wraps for a while so they can get out ahead of things. So we won't talk too much about them, but people are really doing well.
It
and I
keeps
think the area
excited,
is,
right?
Yeah, the area is getting some momentum too in general. So
yeah,
it's not just single rising stars are the only ones that can raise money and be successful. A lot of people are coming up with good ideas, and if they execute them well, they're going to get traction.
Well, you guys have really grown over the last year. I mean, the last 12 months have been crazy for you.
Yeah, so I should have looked this up, but I don't know how many people we had 12 months ago, but it was probably like maybe 20 or low 20s.
I think that it was 20, if I remember the press release correctly.
Yeah, and so, but we've got 40 people now. I think we've got another guy starting next Monday, and then we're recruiting another guy, too, that we hope to hire, and then actually a third and a fourth, but they're more spaced out for commitments, but we already know, so it's...
That's great.
Yeah, but it's slow and steady wins the race for us. You know, we can't, it's not just like, let's ramp up and build stuff and hope people come. I mean, we have to have it always working in lockstep with, you know, client demand and where the market's going and what people
need. It is quite the process, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So you've recently moved. Tell us about the new space.
Yeah, so we moved all the way across the street, but we were in the American Underground in the basement. We were there for almost, I think, 3 years.
Wow.
We went
so you
from
graduated.
We had like a couple different mini graduations. We went from a small bay to a slightly bigger bay to then adding another little space in there. But now we moved up and across the street to Diamond View 3, which is, you know, adjacent to the ballpark. It's
great.
Got windows.
On the ballpark?
It's crazy. It's right in our windows face D-PAC.
Ah, okay.
So we got look out of the park and then
so
look
you have
across
sunshine.
The street. Yeah, sunshine.
That's a change.
Yeah, it's weird.
So how's that impact development?
I mean, well... No, I mean,
net,
it's totally awesome. Everyone's super stoked because it's fun. It's cool.
Yeah.
There's light. It feels like there's more space. It feels like the old space felt like a cool, scrappy, you know, dorm room kind of thing. Like, let's just all go in and rock it out. And now it's kind of like, all right, let's keep our workspaces clean. You know, this is a real thing now. We're like a real business almost. But yeah, so
how long have you been in business?
4 years.
4 years.
As of June, yeah.
And you're up to 40 people. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thanks. Thank
Congratulations.
You. But so people freaked out. They thought the sun would be all blocking their monitors, and everyone was like, oh, we need blinds. And other people were like, no, I need vitamin D. And now that we're in there, no one cares. I think everyone's excited. We've got a kitchen with like 2 taps. So we always have some kind of local beer on tap. We currently have Lone Rider, Red Spur, and their Shotgun Betty.
I love me some Shotgun.
There. Well, fortunately, unfortunately, they're both out. So we kicked those last week. But, you know, Monday wasn't the day to really reload. We're going to take a few days off, I think. And
yeah, it's probably not a bad
restock
idea.
Restock maybe strategically on Friday. I don't know.
I always wondered how good the code can be after a couple beers. I don't know.
There's an infographic for this, I think, and it's something around like the productivity with beer ratio, and it spikes initially, you know,
yeah,
it's like,
no
oh,
doubt.
I'm super like productive. And then it just trails off to nothingness after a while. So as long as we can take advantage of that spike and then the day's over and then people can just hang out.
So among your many announcements in the last 12 months was something to do with a code school. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So we obviously have a need to hire people, recruit people, good talent, and it's hard to find them. And, you know, you're competing with large companies, other startups. Mm. Everyone needs good talent, whether it's design or in our area of most demand is in engineering. So we had this inkling over a year ago of we want to start a code school where we teach people how to become developers. And we tinkered with a lot of stuff from night classes to once a week to 3-day boot camps. And we finally landed on the best or the most effective delivery mechanism of that is full-time immersive 3 months long. We didn't do anything with it for like 6 months. And then right as we got it going and started doing things, we got a call from a company out of South Carolina called the Iron Yard.
Mm-hmm.
And they operate at the time, I think they're in 3 or 4 campuses and with plans on expanding. And so they said, you know, we've got a lot of the stuff, you know, experience under our belt. We know what we're doing. You guys know the market and the players. So let's just partner and let's all be better for it.
Cool.
So we partnered with them and we're going to like call it a new brand or whatever. But then it's like, well, let's just call it the Iron Yard Academy powered by Smashing Boxes. So it's a mouthful. You can check information's on both of our websites. Durham is a location on their site. So the ironyardacademy.com/location/Durham. And then our site, we've got just a subdomain, academy.smashingboxes.com.
Okay.
So it's 3 months. Yeah, first class kicked off in June. So we've got students in there learning how to code, and they're just rocking it. So
that's great.
They come over to our offices.
What kind of coding are they learning?
There's 2 classes right now. One's a front-end engineering class.
Okay.
So that's basically JavaScript, HTML, CSS, and then mm-hmm. a lot of the modern tools and frameworks that are out there. I think they're touching, you know, Backbone, Angular, automation testing frameworks. The curriculum is dynamic. So, you know, next class, there might be something new that's out that's cool. So mm-hmm. it's always changing. Back in the second class is a Rails engineering class. So they're learning Ruby on Rails primarily with, you know, experience and exposure to other parts of the stack. So they do some database stuff with Postgres or Mongo. They learn how to use GitHub and other, you know, tools that modern developers use.
Yeah. So how many students do you expect or hope to have graduated over the first year, let's say?
So for 2014, we'll only have 2 what we're calling cohorts.
Okay.
So 2 sessions. Mm-hmm. I mean, a full year, we'll have 3. But
okay.
In our first cohort right now, I mean, I believe we've got 22 people.
Oh, that's great.
Roughly. That could be more or less. A lot more people apply than get in because we're selective. So in the fall, we want to have at least 3 cohorts going on.
Okay.
And the max capacity is 15. So
okay. That's great.
If we drive all of that, then that's going to be 45 people. So, you know, 60 to 70 folks in this year alone, which is cool.
It is cool.
I don't know what the numbers are at Carolina, my alma mater, but I remember I feel like they had like 40 to 80 computer science graduate students graduating per year. So it's like, okay, well, we just in 12 months decided to fix this, and now we're putting out more people ready to be engineers. So that's cool. We're really pumped. And the Iron Yard had the same kind of backstory. They had an accelerator where they were funding startups, and they just couldn't find any tech talent. So we both came from a place of like, the market was punching us right in the face with, you need this.
Right.
And we're like, I can't believe no one else is doing it. So let's just do it and just rock it out.
Yeah, that's very, very
cool. Why not?
So how did these people, who's teaching the classes?
Yeah, so there's 1 lead instructor for each class and then right now 1 TA. And I think if we, per class, so there's 4 instructors and 1 campus director who helps with, you know, we have an employer advisory board.
Okay.
You know, we have events. There's a big kind of graduation day thing where everyone gives a quick demo, but we invite everybody from the community.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's a good support structure there. We have Clinton Dreisbach is our Rails engineering class, and Julia Ellman is our front-end engineering class.
Very cool.
So they're both like local, awesome thought leaders.
Yeah.
They're, I mean, amazing. I mean,
yeah.
They have huge followings, and I mean, it's like we're totally lucky to have those 2 on board because I couldn't imagine two better instructors, which is cool. I mean, I think once people really realize what's going on, there's going to be a wait list like nationwide for people to come in and learn from these two because they're that big. I mean, Julie was instrumental in starting Girl Develop It in our area. So she's got a huge following. She just released a book, actually. I think we should have a video on our website, on our blog, that talks about that just came out. It's about Python, actually.
Oh, good.
So she's, you know, like a national speaker and writer. And then Clinton's done a ton of stuff.
Great. So it's in Durham. Is it in the American Underground? Is it in your old space?
Or? It's in our old space.
That's great.
So it's in three, if you're familiar with the Underground, which maybe not all listeners are, but we've got three spaces there. So we've got a large space, which is like the group space for labs where they're just cranking and like building stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's three lecture halls. So they pack them in tight. Oh, sorry, two right now, and then obviously we'll want a third for the third class, but one for each class.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. So I'm guessing that your role as CEO has changed a little bit over the last year or so.
Yeah, so it's funny. It has. It's evolving, which is cool. So, I mean, that's my own personal development kind of task is, you know, figuring out the optimal balance of time and priorities.
Yeah. That's cool, though.
I mean,
you're not getting bored.
Yeah, no, it is really cool. It's hard because there's more noise too. You know, I used to kind of think, I mean, literally, I could say I recruited and hired every single person that worked here, and like I helped to win every single client that we got here.
Right.
And then my partner Brian could say like I helped set every process for every project and the quality of every project, like every single one we so building stuff and selling stuff, like we both were instrumental in every single thing, the core of our business. And now it's starting to change. You know, some clients sometimes just fill out our contact form and our team like meets with them and we like win a project.
And you didn't have to do
anything. I'm like, what is going on here? So that's just a small example, but yeah, it's changing to more, how do we look out a little bit further? You know, we can't look out 10 years and spend too much time on that, but what about in 6 months? What about in 12 months? Mm-hmm. What about in 18 months? And then what are the things now that aren't, you know, directly maybe revenue driving or building team building, but what are things that I can start to do to plant the seeds for us to continue to grow and be successful?
Right. That transition is a very interesting transition, isn't it? From being very hands-on to really allowing the delegation to take their job seriously and take some of those things off your plate. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, it's really it's really awesome. So
okay, it's not scary at all.
No, it's not. Well, you know, it's finding the right people, and then that's a catch 22 as well, because you have to have enough volume, enough business to really be able to even afford the right people, you know, because like we used to be the elders in the group, like, you know, us and then some, you know, awesome young programmers right out of school, like rocking it out. Now we have to say, well, we need to bring in people that have experience and that have done this before and can lead others and are interested in leadership and managerial roles.
Right.
Managing to some degree. But so that's been cool. Like watching the team grow and fill out with those types of people has been awesome.
Yeah. I would assume that's kind of a culture shift for the team as well. I mean, the developers were used to being, you know, playing Nerf ball in the middle of the, you know, office. Is that still happening? How does it change?
Yeah, I think the Nerf guns mysteriously disappeared. I'm not sure. Maybe one night when I was cleaning. what? Sorry. But if anything, it's made the culture better, because, you know, if I'm managing a project and this is 3.5 years ago or 2 years ago, or Brian is managing the project hands-on, we're also doing a ton of other things. So people don't always get the same kind of, you know, love and attention that they need to grow as people and as professionals. So now, as we try to empower more people to be like leaders and to help others to learn and to coach them, I think each person relatively gets more attention and more focus on how they can be a better developer or designer. So I think it's actually really improved the culture. It's still a fun place to work. There's beer on tap and it's dangerous. So it hasn't like just gone like complete, like we're not wearing suits, you know, like I'm dressed up today because I put a collared shirt on with my shorts.
But you remain a development firm.
Yeah, absolutely.
But how do you think that some of these changes are impacting the client's perception of the company?
I mean, I think having our office space is a big deal because it's like, all right, you know, this is like the real deal. We're not just kind of going into the basement and stepping over a bunch of stuff and then, you know, kind of talking with a few guys. It's like the presentation of our brand has greatly improved. So everything from when they first walk in the door to just the, like the general appearance to, I mean, we're relaunching our website, you know, in a month or so. We want to move up the stream of value. So yeah. Continue to differentiate ourselves on value, not just coolness. So having the office really helps that. Having experienced people who can, you know, point to things that they've done or projects that they've led, really helps as well. So that now there's not just, you know, one or two people instilling experience and confidence to potential clients. There's 10 people who are there like, man, I love this. This guy's awesome. This guy's awesome. This girl's awesome. This girl's awesome. Like, that's great to see.
A tighter experience in terms of FaceTime.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's interesting. You mentioned that, you know, now you get people just coming to your website and filling out the form. There must be a lot of other, I mean, there's a lot of people doing web development and app development in the world. How else, besides people just filling out a form, happening to find you online, how are you building that market for yourself?
Yeah. So, I mean, this year we're adding business development as one of our, you know, like departments. So it used to be I'm biz dev kind of, cause I just go out and network or meet somebody or go through my LinkedIn, you know, one day a week or something like that. But now, we've got a girl in business development in-house in our Durham office who's focusing on the healthcare practice area.
Oh, good.
So that's like a practice area focus. And then we've hired a girl who's working out in San Francisco. She's opening that market. Yeah. Well, we're not talking about it a ton because it's kind of like, you know, get your feet wet, get going.
Absolutely.
We're going to relaunch our website in a month and then probably do a lot more communications around it then. And then as we planted that seed in our own mind, one of our engineers was moving with his wife up to Montreal. So he just got there last week. And
you're an international firm now.
If we're internet, I just like sending the paperwork for SB Canada, you know,
got to pay our
Canada's tax friendly too, by the way. But, so now we've got a presence in Montreal and we want to continue to grow that out because there's, you know, proximity is a big deal for clients. And just being increasing our awareness. We want to drive that through marketing, through branding, et cetera. But we also want to push it on people with people in the markets to say, hey, we're here, we're here. Yeah. How are you doing? How are you doing?
It is still a high touch industry.
Yeah. It's not a product. You know, there's nothing, you don't get anything out of the box. Right. It's not like, hey, here's the value prop. Here's the, I know you use
there
this.
There is no box. You smashed that box.
Exactly.
There is no box.
There is no box. So, I mean, it's more of just, here's the relationship. So once something pops up and you have a need, you know, you raise that round of money or, you know, you're ready to roll out an Android version of your app, of your product, or, you know, you have a big campaign coming out and you're a big company, like then at least we're in your mind and we have a chance to go after it and win it.
Cool. That's great. What do your clients need to know about you that we haven't covered yet?
You know, we're really entrepreneurial. So I think that really materializes itself in how we approach a project. You know, we're thinking about value. We're thinking about how to drive whatever the business metrics are that the client's interested in, whether it's making money, getting more customers, getting visits, pushing their content out. We're not, you know, first of all, no one tells an entrepreneur what to do. And we're not that, you know, hard-headed about it with our clients. But, you know, we want to know what they want to accomplish. And we want them to delegate results to us, not tasks. So if they just give us a task sheet like, hey, do this, is this, I think it's going to work. We're always going to push back and say, how can we make that better and make an even bigger impact? Because, you know, as entrepreneurs, we think like in terms of exponential returns, not incremental. We don't want to like save 5% on our car insurance. You know, we want to figure out how you, can you double your business in this segment of your company. And I think that that's just energy and it's hard to describe. So that's why we wanted to get as many people into the office or meeting with us or talking to us as possible, because we know we're very confident that once we do that, you know, they'll feel that spark and they'll either get it or they won't get it, but at least we're then putting our best foot forward.
And they love to talk about the product.
Yeah.
You know, once they get that product in their quote unquote hands, if it's an app or on their other forms of devices, if it's a web design, then they are loving talking about it. Everybody I've ever talked to that has worked with you guys has been really pleased.
Yeah, yeah. And it's more, it's not just the end product, it's the experience, you know, because there's a lot of, it's hard to know what something's going to look like in 4 months, you know, starting today. So there's a lot of changes, a lot of ups, a lot of downs.
Well, and they got to learn to trust you.
Yeah, yeah. So it's building
a big deal
relationship. And we want the experience, we want them to walk away with the experience, talking about just as much about the experience as they are like the actual final product, you know, as opposed to the, it sucked, but I mean, the product's awesome. But they're jerks. So we're going to be like, no, man, they had the energy. They were awesome to work with.
Absolutely.
They listened to us, but then they also said no when it made sense and held strong. And it turned out to be for the best for the product.
Cool. So somebody out there listening right now is saying to themselves, okay. I'm finally ready to spend the money and do this thing right. How do they get a hold of you?
Smashingboxes.com.
Yeah, we certainly don't want them just to feel like they have to fill out a form is the only way.
Absolutely.
They can also reach out to you in a number of ways.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my email is nick@smashingboxes.com.
So best way to find you.
That's right. So that's where, I mean, most of our business comes in through that as a referral.
Yeah.
And then we figure out the best way to engage with them. If they're, you know, local, they come in. If they're far away, then we get on the phone or get on a Google Hangout so they can look us in the eye and see what we have to offer. But yeah.
Sounds cool. Hey, Nick, thanks so much for taking time today and joining us on Carolina Connections. It's great to have you back in the studio.
Awesome. Thank you.
And this is Anne Ravel-Petcher signing off. Until next time for Carolina Connections.